Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Her own life experience of substance abuse, a debilitating car accident, child abuse, loss of her own child, cancer at 18, and again at 48, all became catalysts for Kate to help others beat down the doors of defeat and focus on creating a truly amazing life. With the help of some dynamic individuals who've also overcome life's challenges and truly came out stronger, Kate promises to bring listeners an inspiring hour of power filled with humor and insight. Join Kate and her weekly guest as they share their secrets, what almost brought them down, and the inspiring techniques we all need to make our lives epic and spread the juiciness of hope. Now, here's your host, Kate Hennessy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. I hope you stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience ways to refocus when life gets in the way. You know, for a lot of us, November and December are very reflective months, times that you think about what you are most thankful for. And as we move into Christmas, we begin to think about the past, reflect on what was good about the last year and not so good, and how we can make the new year even more amazing for ourselves and those in our lives. The remarkable man that we have on the show today no doubt looks at his past with even more reverence than some of us do. My special guest is Kevin Sorbo, who left his hometown of Minnesota and quickly made his mark as a well-known actor, starring in Dallas, Murder, She Wrote, the lead role of Dylan Hunt in Andromeda, and many, many more featured films. But what many don't know is that this healthy, happy man, at the top of his game, playing the hunky half-god Hercules, at just 38 years old, was literally stopped in his tracks with something so catastrophic it disrupted his life and his career. He's written a wonderful book, True Strength, My Journey from Hercules to Mere Mortal, and How Nearly Dying Saved My Life. I am thrilled to be talking today to actor-author Kevin Sorbo. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, listen, it's just a thrill for us. I was telling you just while we were there before the show started that your book, it made me tear up. It's full of passion. It's full of humor, a lot of funny stories, and we will talk about some of those too. But your book, you put in a lot of life in a short time. You're only and you're still a young fellow. You're only 50-ish, and I want to talk about how you started what would seem almost a charm life, starting out in Minnesota. You're a great sportsman in school. Tell us a little about the early years of Kevin Sorbo. What kind of family you came from?
I was a lucky kid. I'm the fourth of five kids. There's two older brothers and an older sister, then myself, my younger brother. And we grew up, we all went through the same school system, grade school, junior high school. The community I grew up in was fantastic, let alone the neighborhood. The neighborhood I lived in was a dead-end neighborhood. Of course, we called them cul-de-sacs, of course.
Yeah.
But, everybody in that neighborhood was a teacher. So they all friendly, knew each other, all worked together, and there was always just a group of kids. We had a big group of kids in that neighborhood playing all different games, and I had an amazing safety net. It was just I excelled in sports. I loved sports, played football, basketball, baseball, and golf. My brother sort of led the way for that, so I sort of followed their footsteps. But I just had a great support team, not only with my parents but the neighbors and the community, the coaches I had, the teachers I had. In this little town called Mound, Minnesota, we're on the shores of Lake Minnetonka, and our big industry was Tonka Toys. That's where Tonka Toys were made for many, many years. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Hence Lake Minnetonka. And
Minnetonka.
So it was, I was very fortunate. At the age of 11, I decided I want to be an actor. I really only told my mom and dad that. And I got that obligatory, that's nice, dear, for my mom.
Oh,
shit. The seed was set inside of me, but I really didn't do much about it until I got into my college year.
Well, yeah, really normal life, right? Best friends across the road, and probably your parents said what we said when our daughter told us she wanted to be an actor. We'll go to school for something real, And then, you know, yeah, get your BA and then, you know, and move on to that. But you also wanted to be a professional basketball player. Was that something that you said because that felt a little bit more normal?
You know, yeah, it's so easy to become a pro athlete. I always tell people, I go, guys, there's 310 million people in America, and 3,000 of them are professional athletes in football. Okay, so it's a pretty tight threat to get into that, and there's even less than that number in basketball. So to get to that level, you got to be, like, really good. I remember when I got to college, after a couple of days of practice, I called up my dad, and I said, Dad, remember how good I thought I was in high school? Everybody here is as good or better than me. My eyes were sort of open at that next level, at the university level. But so I thought I'd go after something easy like acting, because it's so easy just to come out here, because the doors are wide open at all studios. They're just looking to give jobs away.
So. Of course they are. Hi, I'm from Minnesota.
Yeah, we have a job. We only have one, though. It's in New Zealand. You want to go down there? And say, oh, okay, I guess so. What's it called? Hercules. All right. You know.
You didn't get it that easily, because you did.
No.
No,
there's nothing easy about this business at all.
No.
But
no.
That's another book, trust me.
That's another book. You started out modeling, too. I mean, now that came not easy for you, but you certainly had a great career in modeling. How old were you when you started that?
Well, yeah, I started out in college. It's not what I really wanted to do. I started doing commercials back then.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an actor, you know. But, you know, Minnesota, Minneapolis area is host to a lot of big companies. You know, Target, Best Buy, 3M, Pillsbury, General Mills, TGY, whatever the yogurt place, TGI, whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about.
TCBY.
And that's it. Thank you. And it's amazing to me how much work was there. So I was, you know, I got my SAG card early in my life, which was great because it's a tough thing to get that union card. And before I moved to LA, but I started dating a girl who was a model, and that's how that whole thing happened. I was going to go to Europe and spend 3 months with her and just see it, just hang out with her. Just, you know, I've never been to Europe, and at that point I hadn't traveled much in my life. And I said, you know, what the heck, I'll go out there. So 3 months actually turned into 3.5 years over there.
Oh, really?
And it was an amazing sidetrack to my life that I wasn't really expecting, and I have no regrets on it. I did a lot of commercials over there, did a lot of print work. I'm not much bigger than the average model over there. They're like 5'10", I'm 6'3", so it wasn't like, I got all the body jobs because I was in good shape and did all the sports stuff, so it was fun, and the travel involved. I mean, I got to ride camels around the pyramids in Giza and Egypt, I got to shoot in the middle of the Sahara Desert in Tunisia and go to the Seychelles Islands and all these different places all over Europe. I mean, it was pretty amazing and a wonderful part of my life. But I tired of it pretty quickly because I'm not very good at just standing there and smiling for a camera. I like to move, and acting is still my passion. So when I did finally move to L.A., within 3 days I booked a commercial that sent me to Sydney, Australia. So I'm down there in Sydney, and I called my agent, and I said, you know, I'm going to hang out here there for a while. I'm like, oh, you have only been in L.A. 3 days. And I said, yeah, I know, but I've never been down here. And I ended up spending a half a year down in Australia as well.
Oh, wow. Now, tell me how you met Beverly Dean, because she's a character all in the book that just is a really cool character in that book, and she really had a premonition for you back then.
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's a weird town, it's a weird business, Hollywood, and just, you know, a lot of luck goes in with a lot of talents. And I was in a very good acting class with a guy named Richard Brander, and I was sitting there talking about how I wasn't really happy with my present manager, and this guy behind me says, well, I got a manager I really like, and she's looking for guys like you. And I said, okay, whatever that means, sure, you know, I'll meet her. So I walked in to meet Beverly Dean, and she worked out of her apartment in Beverly Hills there. And I walk into her office, and she starts screaming. And she goes, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. She says, why aren't you a star? And I looked at her, and I said, well, that's what you're for, isn't it? Isn't that your job? And she said, you should be a star right now. You should be a star. And I said, well, I'm working on it. And she says, do you do drugs? And I said, no, I don't do any drugs. You know, she was so crazy. She's like a sitcom unto herself. And she said, I need you to write down something. I need you to write down a piece of paper, print it. Now's the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country and then sign your name. And I just thought,
crazy.
This is so weird. She hands me this card, this index card. So I wrote it down, and I signed my name. She grabs it, starts looking at it for a couple minutes. She goes, okay, now get out of here. I'll call you in a couple days.
Wow.
So she goes, you got to come see me. You got to come see me right now. So I walk around. She goes, my God, Kevin, you're going to be such a big star. You're gonna be people around the world are going to know you. You're going to do movies, TV, but you're going to start with TV, and you're going to get a huge TV show. And it's going to happen very soon, but you won't shoot it here. You're going to shoot it somewhere down, maybe like in Australia or something like that, somewhere down there. Well, sure enough, you know, with 6 months later, when I did get Hercules, Hercules shot in New Zealand, which for people who don't know the geography is right next to Australia.
Yeah.
So that's kind of creepy in a way that, and the show does go on for 7 years and becomes the most watched television show in the world. So it was kind of weird how, you know, there's something to it. I called her the devil. I said, you're a witch or something. I don't know what you are, but it was, you know, just didn't say that and throw it Australia. And it's kind of interesting.
And, you know, you find as you go and read through the book, we're going to take a quick break in a second, but as you read through the book, a lot of times you seem to have met people that seem to sense something that was going to happen or had a real affinity with you. Like, she knew that some of these things were going to happen, and she says at some point, see, I told you. And we'll talk about when you met your beautiful wife, Sam, too. And you also had all of these common things. You knew how you were going to have your kids, what order, you knew you loved to be married in the same wedding chapel. I mean, just crazy things that seem to happen for you that people get a real feeling about you and go with that. But you sure have paid your dues, Kevin, and we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you're going to be speaking with Kevin Sorbo again and talking about what happened on this hit show Hercules and what went on with regards to his health and how he basically said that his body betrayed him. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Kevin Sorbo.
Overnight scenes, dinner and wine, celebrity girls. I was never in love, never had the time in my hustle and hurry world.
Laughing myself to sleep, waking up lonely. I needed someone to hold me.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Get ready for a new and brighter future with The Joseph Gabby Show. Consciously living your destiny. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to break through stagnation and procrastination and fulfill your life's destiny. This hit show will clear mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual stuckness using numerology and an endless list of life-energizing tools live on air. To find out more about Joseph and how to discover the power of blueprint numerology and spiritual healing, visit www.consciouslylivingyourdestiny.com.
Well, there's too many windows in this old hotel, and rooms filled with reckless pride, and the walls have grown sturdy and the halls have worn well, but there is nobody living inside.
We are back on Get Focused Radio with my guest Kevin Sorbo and talking about his book True Strength. Just before we continue, Kevin, can you let everyone know how they can contact you and especially where they can go to get this fantastic book?
The book is TrueStrengthBook.com. TrueStrengthBook.com will give them a little video and information about the book and where they can get it in their area. And certainly they can go to Amazon to pick it up, Barnes & Noble, any bookstores, things like that. And people can get a hold of me on my Twitter is @KSorbs. Sorbs was my nickname growing up. My buddies still call me that to this day. As we mentioned earlier about, you know, growing up in my neighborhood, I still have the best friends I've had since I was 1 and 2 years old. We still hang out and do stuff together. So it's KSORBF, K Sorbs. Or they can go to the official Facebook page of Kevin Sorbo. And such a long title, I apologize. A lot of people have stolen my name. So I have to go to the official Facebook page of Kevin Sorbo to find me.
Okay, so make sure you go to the official book. So here you are, you're just going along, you've got this fantastic career really rolling now, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, we talk about some of your other amazing roles. You know, I specifically remember Hercules, and that was where you met Sam Jenkins then, who was on the show with you. And it was all about this time, right? So you did something very unusual. When things didn't work out for you, you didn't go and have a smoke or have a drink. You went and pounded the gym. That was your way of just letting off frustration and whatnot. So you always really took care of your body.
I enjoyed working out. I mean, like I said, I was an athlete through high school and college, and I was an athlete in, you know, all through the 20s and 30s, I mean, before I got Hercules. I was in three city basketball leagues here around the L.A. area. Mm-hmm. And the gym is just, you know, it becomes a habit, just like people who don't go to the gym. That becomes a habit, too. So, you know, when your body's in shape and it screams to be worked out, and it's just it's just something I need to do. And certainly it was something like if I had a headache, I didn't take aspirin. I went and jogged 3 miles. That got rid of my headache, and I enjoyed it. So, you know, that kind of working out wasn't a problem for me, and it wasn't an effort for me, but obviously in Hercules was part of my daily routine. I mean, I was 18 hours door to door. I mean, I was working just crazy hours, and 14 hours a day in the set, and usually the drive was anywhere from 30 minutes to 60 minutes one way. Then I go to the gym to work out 2 hours every day after I work, after the 14 hour day on the set. So it was an insane schedule. I think eventually it had to catch up to me, which it did.
Do you think that intense the intense workouts and the intense schedule, do you think that had something to do with the fact that we'll tell people what happened was at 38 years old, you suffered 3 strokes. And I mean, this just came out of the blue. Were there any signs that something was happening?
Well, during the last 3 months of season 5, for those who know, those who don't know, I lived in Auckland, New Zealand. That's why I shot the series for the 7 years. I was having problems with my left shoulder, and my shoulder was killing me. It was just numb and achy and just sending huge pains down my arm. And the 3 fingers on my left hand, from the middle finger over to the pinky, and the ring finger, of course, were all getting cold and numb. And mm-hmm. It was very strange. When I got back to L.A., I was coming back at the end of season 5 to do promotional work on a movie I'd shot the year before for Universal Studios called The Conqueror. And I was about to start another movie for Universal as well. And I went to see my doctor in LA, my regular doctor there, and he found a lump in my left shoulder, and he said, I want to do a biopsy on this, which sort of freaked me out. When you hear biopsy, of course, you think cancer, and you think whatever else. And you just,
sure.
And so I went to Gold's Gym, once again out of frustration, to work out because I was nervous and scared about what this lump was in my shoulder. The pain had gotten so bad in my left hand, I couldn't pick up 10 pounds in my left arm. It was just, the pain was just shooting so bad. So I went to see my chiropractor, and I've been seeing this guy for 8 years. And in the 8 years I've seen him, he's never cracked my neck because he knows I hate my neck being cracked. Mm-hmm. I don't like the feeling. So he's working on my shoulder, and I'm laying there on the table. And as I'm laying there, face up to him, eyes are closed, I hear a voice inside me said, don't let him crack your neck. And I open my eyes and I looked at him and I said, did you say something? Because I didn't say anything. And I closed my eyes again. And again, this voice says, do not let him crack your neck. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I hearing this voice say, don't let him crack my neck? He's never cracked my neck. He knows I don't like my neck cracked. Boom, he cracks my neck. And that lump in my left shoulder ended up being an aneurysm that had been slowly spitting out clots into my blood clots into my arm over those 3-4 months or longer, who knows, if the symptoms start showing up, you know, 3 months earlier. And of course I didn't listen to him, and the cracking of the neck from the left to right crack of the neck forced 3 of those blood clots out of that aneurysm to go up into my brain, and I suffered 3 strokes.
Oh my God.
And on one hand, I'm incredibly lucky. Could have killed me instantly, of course. You get 3 bullets to the brain. Who knows what's going to happen? I could be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I could be unable to speak, whatever. But two of the blood clots, pardon me, went to my balance center, and one went to my vision. And obviously, I had a drop out of the movie, and I spent the next 4 months in rehab learning to walk again. I had the sensation that I was falling backwards, whether I was standing, seated, laying down, didn't matter. I was falling backwards 24 hours a day for about a year and a half before that sensation finally went away. Buzzing in my head, migraines, dizzy spells, vertigo, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, of course, I was rushed to the ICU, and I spent a couple of wonderful weeks in the hospital there. And, you know, the book obviously details all that stuff, but it's... It was a nightmare, and a lot of other things happened over the next 3 years before I fully recovered. I still have repercussions, but people would not be able to tell if there's anything wrong with me. Only I really know what's wrong with me.
Well, I think what's so amazing when you think about it is if you had been 58 years old or 68 years old, all of those signs with the tingling and whatnot, we all know as you get older, oh, you know, that could be something. But it wouldn't even cross your mind at 38. Stroke would just not cross your mind.
No,
and,
not
and
at all. I mean,
didn't for the doctors.
But I'm everything opposite of what, you know, you would look for in a stroke, potential stroke victim, because what they look for, certainly age plays the issue, even though strokes happen at all ages. Trust me, I've become not an expert at this, but I know a lot more about strokes than most people do that don't have them. And, you know, they look, it's diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, smoking, drinking, all these things combined can really skyrocket your chances for stroke. And I had none of those things going on. I mean, I was in better shape than those 21-year-old athletes. I mean, I was in good shape.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was eating everything right. I was, you know, working out. I was, you know, I'm not a drinker. I'm not a smoker at all and all that kind of stuff. So for this to happen to me, I was a complete anomaly to these guys. And, you know, it was a mix-up on what they think really caused it. But certainly the cracking of the neck after I've gone into the whole chiropractic world, it does happen. It happens to people that don't have aneurysms, but the fact that I had an aneurysm sitting as close as I did to that artery that feeds the brain was a huge factor in that snap movement that forced those clots into my brain.
Absolutely. I have to ask, are you still an avid chiropractor?
You know what? I don't want to bash that profession. I think I personally think it's just a short fix. I think physical therapy, you know, working with rubber bands, stretching, yoga, Pilates, things like that are a better fix for you. Mm-hmm. But for a short fix mixed with therapy, I think chiropractic services are great. But I've never liked the neck crack thing. And
yeah.
I spoke earlier this year at the American Heart Association in Florida at their annual meeting, and I was a keynote there, and I was amazed there was 20 people there that had suffered strokes after a neck crack. And actually 3 of the people there were the spouses because their husbands died immediately after that neck crack. Is it rare? It's extremely rare. You probably got a better chance of getting struck by lightning. But
yeah,
within that profession,
you know,
I think they should tell people. They say, look, there is a chance. I mean, look, you watch commercials on TV and they tell you about a drug. They list 400 side effects. So why can't chiropractors say, okay, there's a chance. It can happen.
Right.
But it's, you know, of course, it's rare. So I'm not going to sit there and say, don't get a crack if you want your neck crack. Go for it.
Yeah. But still, I think it is something that's good that's come out with this book, that it you have to be aware. It's just making people aware, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, there's no question. They should let people know.
Now, when you... As you started your recovery and physio and whatnot, were there painkillers, drugs that they put you on?
Yeah, they wanted to put me on things, and I didn't want to put on things. I don't like drugs. I'm very drug sensitive. I've had three knee surgeries, and each one of those surgeries, I've told them less and less to knock me out. I don't need that much, you know. So I think it's because my system pretty much is so clean or something. I don't know, but I'm very sensitive to drugs. And I hit right away. I hit all these side effects. So I went off them. I said, forget it. I'm not doing this stuff. I just went off it completely. So that was only a short chapter for me. I mean, I got rid of that stuff right away. And I actually turned to alternative medicine. You know, the doctors gave me all these prognoses. And they said, oh, by the time after 8 months, whatever you're still feeling after 8 months, you're going to be feeling like that the rest of your life. You'll never get better. Well, after 8 months, I still wasn't doing that great. And I said, there's just no way. There's no way I'm going to live my life like this. And I certainly think, you know, the mixture of things, of me being young when it happened, me being in good shape when it happened, mixed with I'm a very strong-willed person. I fought through it. And I turned to meditation and yoga and acupuncture, which I think was huge in helping me, mix with all the other things that the Western medicine wanted to throw at me as well.
You know, I want to stay on that. I want to come back and talk a little bit about the alternative medicine that you turn to. We're going to take another quick break. I'm Kate Hennessy, and you're listening to Get Focused Radio. We're going to be back shortly with my guest, Kevin Sorbo, talk about his life, love, and true strength. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
She's faced the hardest times you could imagine.
Thank you, everyone. We are back on Get Focused Radio. I'm your host, Kate Hennessy. I have Kevin Sorbo here, and we're talking about his book and his recovery, his amazing recovery from suffering from strokes while he was filming the television hit Hercules. You can go to TrueStrengthBook.com to get a copy of his book. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about alternative medicine when we left for the break, and you found that you were always an advocate about you didn't drink, you didn't smoke. In fact, I know in the book when the doctors were asking you when you were taken into eMERGE with and they were trying to figure out what had happened, they asked you all kinds of things. Do you take steroids? Do you take drugs? And I know your wife piped up and said, he doesn't even drink coffee. So for them to put you on painkillers and whatnot just wasn't an alternative for you.
No, no way that was going to work for me. And I mean, I just known since I was a kid that the best thing for me to feel better was always just to work out, do something, go for a jog, whatever it was. So, I'm not the best poster child for the pharmaceutical world, I'll tell you that much.
No. Did you find like your I think acupuncture was that a good thing for you? I've never tried that myself.
I believe acupuncture is huge for me. I mean, when I first started acupuncture, there were certain points on my body that the needles would go on that would cause excruciating pain, and the woman that I was working with just was shocked, and she says, "Well, that shouldn't be painful." But then she realized that she's hitting places that were so blocked off now because of the strokes and because of everything my body and the physiological change my body had gone through, that I had to go through that pain. I mean, my whole mantra was really no pain, no gain. And I took that on from all the jocks that I worked out with, and all the years of playing sports, where you have to push your body past what you think it's capable of doing. You got to tear your muscles down to build them up. Mm-hmm. So I knew, with my strokes, the first year and a half, I couldn't go in crowded rooms. I could not go to a restaurant because all the noise would drive me crazy. My body, my brain could not process all the information of all the different people at the tables talking, screaming, laughing, crying, whatever was going on. And it would send me into a tailspin. It would make me dizzy again. It would bring the vertigo systems higher again, even though I was already having them. This would just accentuate them and magnify them. But I put myself in those situations realizing if I don't, I'm not going to get better. So I said, okay, I'm going to go into the lion's den, get beat up for a little while. I know it's going to wipe me out. It's going to give me a migraine. I'm going to lay in bed. The world's going to be spinning for a day or two. But that was my way of getting myself better, and it certainly worked. It was helpful. So I wasn't afraid of putting myself through all the steps I had to put myself through.
Yeah, I think if anyone has ever suffered from tinnitus, it is one of the most horrible experiences. Because you can't make it stop.
Well, it was in the back of my brain. There was in. I don't know if that was the term you'd call us, but I guess it would be that term. But there was a generator sound, a buzzing sound, a low vibrating buzzing sound in the back of my brain where the strokes took place. And it lasted a long time. I mean, it was well over a year before it started going away. And I remember I looked at my wife at that time, and actually you know, when the strokes happened, it was 4 months before Sam and I even got married. So she got the, before she said for better or worse, she got the worst part right away.
She got the worst.
But I looked at her, you know, a year after the strokes, and I said, you know, I finally understand suicide. And she looked at me. I said, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to commit suicide. But there, the things that I've gone through, and the 24 hours a day of this sound in the back of my head, 24 hours a day, and the lightning strikes and the falling back. I said, there are people that I know wouldn't be able to handle this, mm-hmm. which I find sad, but it's true. There's people that said that, you know, I said there's people who kill themselves over this.
Yep.
And before, I never understood suicide. I never understood why people would do that to themselves. But I said, you know what, I think I understand a little bit.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, here you are. You're in the middle of this amazing career, this amazing time in your life, right? Everything's going fantastic, really. But you are doing overextending with regards to the hours on the set and doing all of the workouts. Now, this happens. You go back to the set. Now, did people know what had happened? Was this something that came out immediately, or did anyone know when you went back?
Well, it was on the news about the aneurysms. Universal Studios, you know, God bless them as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you think they're doing it out of their care for their actors, but they really don't care. Bottom line is they just want to make their money. So,
yeah.
But on the flip side of that, I'm grateful they didn't tell anyone. I don't know how we kept it out of the news. The only thing that got in the news is that I suffered aneurysms. Mm-hmm. In today's world, wouldn't happen. See, when I got sick, when I had the strokes, that was the same weekend Princess Di died.
Oh wow!
So it was a lot of the news was covering over that. They talked about me. I was on, you know, I was on CNN and Fox. They're just doing their little ticker tape things, and they mentioned me on ET and Access Hollywood, all that kind of stuff. But you know, no one really knew. And then the next 4 months, I was in rehab at my place out in Las Vegas because Nevada became my residence when I got the series. And after 4 months, I flew back to New Zealand. The flight itself was excruciating, just the altitude didn't help me at all. And I got down there and got in a set, and I went from like a guy that was working 14 hours a day to 1 hour a day. And I walked on the set, and people knew, but they didn't know to the extent. They knew that I was very ill and very sick because they sort of set up a very quiet set for me because I kept a very fun, loud, laughing set. It was fun. We joked around. That was my family down there. You know, I was with these people, like I said, 12, 14 hours a day. And I come on the set, and they could see I'd lost about 15 pounds of muscle because I wasn't able to work out like I was before. They could see that I just looked different. And one by one, they slowly started clapping, and I just broke down. I couldn't handle it. I could not handle it. You know, and I went from a guy working all those days, you know, hours to 1 hour a day. You know, a couple months later, it was up to 2 hours. A couple months after that, it was up to three. I slowly worked it back up to about 8-9 hours a day 2 years after the strokes. But it took a long time, and they had to work the show around my schedule.
Yeah, because that's very apparent when you read the book that this wasn't just a walk in the park. This wasn't 4 months of physio and you were back to where you were. This literally has taken, you know, yes, 2 years down the road, you were almost back up to a normal routine, but this has taken you years and years to get to almost back to where you were. But I don't know that you've ever gone completely back.
No, I'll never be the same. You know, when that strokes happened, I knew that I had suffered strokes. I was in denial when they happened, and you know, the book covers that as well. But
yeah.
You know, welcome to the male ego. But I just held back, and I didn't hold back. I didn't want the world to know what was going on with me. I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing myself, and I still have a 10% loss of vision in both eyes. That's still with me.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, the world of balance issues are still there as well. I mean, when I get overly tired, you would think that I had a couple drinks, you know. My walk becomes a little more cautious and a little more unbalanced. And that just comes if I just overwork myself and don't get enough sleep.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, now here, you know, you and Sam then got married 4 months after all of this happened. And then you went on to have three little kids. So how is that, you know, how has all of that played out? I mean, that's quite overwhelming when you've gone through all of this and you've got these three little ones now, and they're all quite close in age and they're all still very young. What have they done for you with regards to recovery?
Well, it was huge. I mean, you know, when the strokes happened, I remember hanging on Sam, my fiance at the time, and she's basically carrying me into the ER. And luckily she had an in there because she'd been a volunteer there at the emergency room at Cedars-Sinai there for about 3 years at that time. So I think I got a little extra special care because of the things she knew. But I remember walking into the hospital, and before we got in there, I just looked up at the blue sky and I said to myself, this is so strange, I'm going to die today. And I honestly believed that was it, because I knew something horrific had just happened to me.
Yeah.
And I was calm about it, which is weird. I thought I'd be a little more upset about it, but I was mad. I thought I'd live to be 90, and I thought I'd have my kids. And, thank God everything did work out. And obviously the kids have been a godsend, and it turned out to be the exact same order that I knew I would have since I was 16 years of age. And Sam, my wife, knew it as well before, as we met, before we got married. Like we told each other we want three kids. We want a boy, a girl, in that order, and we got them. So it was, they've obviously, they're the biggest things in my life, of course. They make me laugh every day. Of course, they can drive you crazy every day, too. But,
It's
a godsend. I couldn't
motivation.
Imagine my life without my children. There's no question.
Absolutely. Motivation, right?
They're great, and they love sports, and they stay busy, and they're funny, and they're rambunctious, and it's just good. There's life in the house, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, and Sam, of course, you say she's your rock, right? So she's been a hugely motivational, spiritual person for you to keep all of this going, obviously.
Well, she's the reason the book was even written. She bugged me for years. She said, you got to write this book, Kevin. You got a motivational book here, a triumph over tragedy story that people will be able to relate to, and you'll inspire them to move past what they think they're able to do. And, hence the title True Strength, which is sort of a play on words. On one hand, it was making fun of my Hercules show, because that wasn't really true strength. That was a bunch of stunt guys making me look like a big stud, and I realized that. So the true strength also comes from, finding your own true strength within yourself. Because the reality is, the one common denominator that we all have is that we're going to die. When, where, we don't know. But there's going to be a road that we're going to have to go on one day that we don't want to go on, that we're not expecting when it happens. And when it does happen, how do you react to that road? How do you react to that change in your life that moves everything around in a completely different direction? And that's what the book is to find your own true strength to fight past that. And that's what the book has hopefully been doing for people. I've been on the road with it for a year now. The hard cover came out a year ago. The paperback just came out now. That's why we're doing all these interviews again. And
yeah.
I've been speaking a lot at neurological institutes across the country and hospitals and bookstores. And I'm meeting so many people that not only suffered, they're stroke survivors, but they're heart attack survivors, car crashes, cancer, whatever it is, come to me, and they're in tears saying, your book has made me want to try again. I just got an email just this morning as I got up from a fan in Australia who'd suffered strokes, and he's just fighting and battling. He says that my book, here he lives in Perth, he's 12,000 miles away from me, and he talks about my book being a rock for him, and it's making him push past. Whereas I tell people, don't let other people set your limitations. It's called a practice for a reason, so...
I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. We've got to take our last break, and we're going to come back, and I want to talk about World Stroke Day with my very special guest, Kevin Sorbo. Stay tuned.
Saskia Roel came to America with five children and one suitcase to follow her dream. She is a soul empowerment coach and best-selling author. Do you want to find your soulmate, the job of your life, or simply thrive? Let Saskia teach you how to turn adversities into adventures and how to live your ideal life. Go to yoursoulguidance.com and enter to win a free session with Saskia. That website again is yoursoulguidance.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality?
How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy-free.
When it comes to understanding the benefits of ionized water, Dr. Peggy Parker is the ultimate resource. But when it comes to providing the best selection of high-quality water ionizers and the accessories to make it look beautiful in your kitchen, call on YNR Marketing. With our help, you can make this antioxidant-packed water in your own kitchen for only pennies a glass. In fact, if you call us today, you can even try the water free. So don't delay. Call us at 877-25-WATER. We also offer a wide range of pre-filters to help deal with chlorine, chloramines, fluoride, lead, and pesticides to ensure you're drinking the highest quality water available. We even solve hard water issues. If you have questions, we have the answers. So call us today at 877-25-WATER. That's 877-25-WATER. Or visit us on the web at trythewaterfree.com. Again, that's trythewaterfree.com.
We are back with Kevin Sorbo, and we are talking about True Strength, his amazing book about everything that he has done, his incredible career, his amazing family, and the fact that he had quite the horrific experience at such a young age, and he's come back bigger, stronger, probably a little bit more mellow and a little bit more... thinking, perhaps, or there's a little bit more there to him than there was at 38 when all of this happened. But we are really, really inspired by what you have been telling us, Kevin. And I want to let everyone know, which I'm sure they do, October 29th, which is past, is World Stroke Day. And Kevin is a huge spokesperson for the American Stroke Association. But what I'd really like to talk about is 16 years ago, you began a program called A World Fit for Kids. Please tell us about that. I am sadly ignorant about it, and I smack my hand, and I will be looking into it after the show. Tell me about this amazing program.
Well, for starters, people can go to worldfitforkids.org. So it's worldfitforkids.org, get information. We're trying to get open chapters at every school system, you know, every school district across this country. Hercules had become a huge hit. We'd become the most watched television show in the world. We passed Baywatch back in the mid-90s. Yep. And I started getting inundated with a lot of calls for, you know, pediatric AIDS, Make-A-Wish, all these wonderful programs. I already knew a lot of actors that were involved with that. Mm-hmm. So I called up Beverly Dean, we talked about earlier. I said, Beverly, find me somebody that works with inner city schools. So find me, I'm going to do like an after school program, something. I'm going to do something with kids that are in, you know, they're in at risk neighborhoods, so to speak. Because, you know, I didn't grow up that way. I didn't grow up rich or fancy, but I grew up in a very nice, safe suburb in outside of Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I knew in Los Angeles that, you know, there's a lot of unsafe neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Well, she called back very quickly because she got a call later that same week from the woman who runs A World Fit for Kids. At the time, it was called L.A. Fit for Kids. Normandy Nye is her name. Normandy called me up and said, I hear, you know, I was asking my kids, we need a celebrity spokesperson. They all yell out your name. She says, I don't know who you are, Kevin, because I don't watch TV, but my kids love your show, Hercules. And I said, well, let's talk. And I actually flew her down to New Zealand. we met. We had a very long chats, dinners together, and I said, let's do this. Let's sign it up. But I want to change the name to A World Fit for Kids. Let's try to make this thing go global. Let's try to make this thing go everywhere.
Wow.
Well, L.A. County, for example, is one of the worst school districts in the country. It has a 54% dropout rate, starting as low as fifth grade. 54%. We work with 12,000 kids a year from first grade through 12th grade. And it's all we can take in because that's all our budget allows. We just, we're, you know, like everybody else, money's always an issue.
Right.
Those 12,000 kids in that same school district that has a 54% dropout rate, we have a 98% graduation rate, and we have a 67% higher GPA. We have a program that works. The first hour deals with physical education. They have to do something physical. We don't force any sport on them, but they have to do something, whether it's basketball or dance. It doesn't matter. We bring in people to work with them. The next hour is the grades, because 1 hour of physical exercise is proven, and it obviously makes sense, that your retention levels and your attention levels spike. That just totally makes sense. And unfortunately, in every school level now, we're dropping physical education as part of the curriculum. It's gone.
Well, and, they don't have any.
No, it's insane. You know, 9 and 10-year-old kids need to run around an hour a day, at least, you know.
Yeah.
And they've gone. And so we were, it's that. And the third hour is dealing with the real world. Okay, what to expect when you go on to your next level of grade? What to expect when you leave high school? Hopefully you go to university. What to expect in the real world? It's all about, and health, and eating well, and exercise, diet, all that stuff is brought in there because childhood obesity is huge in this country. Well, it was about 7 years ago we were presented from the governor of California for the best after-school program in the state of California. We've stayed there ever since. I go to Washington, D.C. once a year, meet with Congress members. We show them all the clippings. We show them all the stats, all the facts. Everybody goes, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable, yet nothing gets done. This program should be in every school district across this country. The apathy, it blows my mind, the dumbing down of our kids, America is now 57th in the world, our public education, 57th. 50 years ago, we were in the top 5. What has happened? And it's, and you know, a lot of people have to be held accountable. And teachers, parents, when we graduate, kids can't read or write. What is going on? This makes no sense to me. It's amazing to me that we have a celebration of mediocrity in this country because we don't want people to feel bad. But you know what? World, wake up. I mean, if you have that mentality with the golf world, then it's really unfair Tiger Woods wins the Masters because all the other golfers feel bad. So they should all get a green jacket and a $1 million check. You know, I mean, you talk to anybody, from Phil Mickelson to all these other golfers, say guys like Tiger Woods, guys like Michael Jordan, all the other athletes, they admit, these guys make us better. And competition is a great thing. And this country, for some reason, is hiding from that and shying away from that, thinking, well, we don't want other kids to feel bad. Well, that, you know what, that's, we're not all the same. I'm sorry. There are people dumber than me, there are people smarter than me, and that's life, and I accept that. But people that are better than me, it motivates me to get myself better. And that's what it should do for everybody, and that's what we try to do the kids out there today.
You know, and you know what, Kevin? You changed the name to worldfitforkids.org, and I would like, now you've got me all passionate about it, because we were chatting about school and the way that things have changed, and guess what? In Canada, our kids are obese, our children don't exercise anymore, they're not allowed to play in the schoolyard, and we're going to have to step up and do something. I would love very much to bring this program here, and maybe you and I can talk about that at some point, because somebody has to do something. It has to start somewhere. You started it 16 years ago. We are grateful for that. I'd like to see that here, too.
I would love to. We'll definitely talk. I was just there this weekend. I was just up there doing a speaking engagement about my book. I was just in Toronto.
I missed you.
I was in, is it Vaughan? Is that how you say it?
Vaughan, yes, I know Vaughan. Well, we're going to get you back. I would love for you to come back to Canada. And again, we should really talk about this because all of the amazing things that you've done, you're very inspiring. You're an amazing man. Our show's come to the end, and I am just so thankful that you've been on. Loved what you've told us, your experiences, and of course, you're not the only talent in the house. Your beautiful wife, Sam Sorbo, does many, many fascinating things. She has a radio show, and she's coming on to chat with us in January, so maybe we'll be able to talk to her a little bit more, but I certainly think that Canada could well benefit from World Fit for Kids. So thank you so much, Kevin, for being on, and I hope all goes well for you. Your great book, True Strength, a great Christmas gift. So I so enjoyed reading it, laughed, I cried, I did all those great things. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I got thrown because I shot my second series, Andromeda, which is the Gene Roddenberry show. I shot that in Vancouver for 5 years, from 2000 to 2005. So Canada's near and dear to my heart. I shot a lot of movies in the Toronto area, but I got to be honest with you, Toronto's too much like Minneapolis. I don't miss the 5 months of winter, and I know you guys are moving into it right now. So,
okay, tell you what.
But I do know the weather systems quite well.
Come and visit us in May and June, and in the meantime, we'll talk about getting World Fit for Kids over here for our chubby little Canadians.
I love that. We'll definitely talk.
Thanks again, Kevin. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. It was a great show. I so enjoyed talking to Kevin. Make sure you get True Strength. Again, what a great Christmas gift. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Get Focused Radio. Join me next week. I've got singer, songwriter, and author of Tell It, Sister, Tell It, the delightful Stella Parton will be joining us. Yes, she is Dolly's baby sister with her own amazing career and a story you won't believe. You won't want to miss this show. Check out all of our upcoming and awesome guests at GetFocusedRadio.com or TransformationTalkRadio.com. Everyone, have a great week, and I'll see you back here same time, same place, with great people and amazing stories. Make sure to have a great day and try to make a difference.
You've been listening to Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power, filled with humor and insight, will have you screaming yes to your life. Tune in next week as Kate and her guests share their secrets, talk about what almost brought them down, and offer inspiring techniques we all need in order to make our lives epic. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com and spread the juiciness of hope.
Higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.